restraint. Show hands. Okay, let me put it the other way. Does anyone of you not keep pictures framed of dear and loved ones? You don't. Why? You don't like anyone. Or you don't have a wall to put one on. So it is very common. We all do that. If you have someone you dearly love and appreciate, feel indebted to, one way or another, at least emotionally, you frame the picture of that person. As a matter of fact, many, I know my mother does, she even puts flowers before my picture, the picture of my sister. You know, she puts, every once in a while, she puts some flowers before our pictures. I actually didn't know that until this year. So it is. This is very common, we all do this. On the other hand, the opposite situation would be if someone comes and behaves disrespectfully towards that picture, and excuse me for going to be so graphic, but let's say someone spits at it. I mean, you feel offended. Why this is so? Because the person is, to one or the other degree, to some degree, present in that picture. Otherwise, well, you know, why would you care? Why would you care? But that person is somewhat, in some way or another, it's present in that picture. And if, you know, when someone offends that picture, it's not that that person offended some material particles and you're all upset about it. No, because that person offended the person you love. So similarly, if you make the same principle a little more sophisticated, a little more elaborate, then you get the deity. You get the deity, a deity of Krishna. You can have a picture of a deity or you can have a statue of Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is present in that form. And just like my mother places flowers before my picture, I also place flowers before Krishna's picture. And before Krishna's statue. As a matter of fact, put some garlands around Krishna's neck. And if you treat Krishna's statue properly, I feel very encouraged. And if not, I don't like it. you can at least walk away in peace if you don't like it. You don't have to be disrespectful. So this is called archana, or deity worship. Worship is just... worship means to offer proper respect. And Srimad Bhagavat Purana teaches us that we should offer respect to everyone. Everyone and everything, actually. Because everyone and everything has its origin in Krishna. So similarly, you're going to see tonight a bathing of a deity of Krishna. So I know sometimes people, especially those who those who grew up in a Judeo-Christian tradition, or modern materialistic, chemical, biological environment, they have a difficulty understanding this. But actually, if you remove your emotional state and quit being a politician and just put the philosopher helmet on, then it actually doesn't take much to understand. Actually, when you walk into someone's office, I can hardly remember seeing a single office that didn't have a desk with a picture of a dear and loved one on, with some kind of flowers or some kind of pleasant decorations or some nice pleasant items offered to the picture. Why? Because the person is one or the other way present in the picture. So Krishna similarly present in his picture. And similarly is present in his own form. Where I grew up, there's one of the main economic industries down there is tourism. So I had a friend who was a person who makes sculptures? Sculptor. Okay, thank you. That's one of my three helps during the game. he was making a lofty sums during the 3-4 summer month season, making figures of people's faces, people's bodies. You know, you bring him a picture of a dear and loved one, and he makes a nice figure, and you go home with it. Put it in on a shelf under on some sort of a shrine, and you have it there. You have it there. It's a, some sort of showing respect, continuing loving, emotional, devotional reciprocation. That's what it is. So that's what you're going to witness tonight, bathing ceremony of Krishna, of a deity of Krishna. Now, why particularly that kind of deity of Krishna? We'll leave that for next year, so you have to come again. So I'd like to... Well, lubricate my throat. There is a pastime. You know, I need a clock because I can't see what the time is. Yeah, but I need to be able to. He's going to get one. There is a pastime connected or an activity of Krishna's connected with this event. So once a year, devotees celebrate this event where Krishna, in his deity of Lord Jagannath, which is the black deity on the far right altar, leaves his temple and spends 1 week in a different temple 2 miles away. And while being there, he's entertained by his devotees, and then after a week or two, he comes back. So we're going to celebrate the same event here. After this bathing festival over here, we all get a chance to pour some water over a statue of Krishna. And then Krishna will disappear. If you come for the next week here to the temple, he won't be on his altar. He'll be taking rest somewhere else. We won't tell you where. You're supposed to be experiencing separation from Krishna, yearning and longing for Krishna's presence. And then he'll reappear in 1 week, and he'll take a pleasant stroll down whatever that street is in Balboa Park. And that's what Krishna likes to do. He likes to take a stroll through that park. Now, before he leaves his own temple, and before he goes to the traditional place in India, the other temple called the Gundicha, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is an incarnation of Krishna, came to show the ways of devotional service, or the ways of behavior and activities and characteristics of a devotee of Krishna. So it was Krishna himself behaving like a devotee, one of the sweetest incarnations of Krishna. And he cleanses this place. Every year before Krishna goes there, he cleanses this place. He brings with him hundreds and hundreds of devotees. And they all go in there before Krishna comes. And everyone takes a broom. Everyone takes a broom and they sweep it. They sweep it very thoroughly. They clean every single grout, every single corner, ceiling, walls, everything, every square inch, not only the temple, but all of the other buildings, you know, the buildings where the monks live, the kitchen, where the food is kept, the courtyard, the entrance, the gate, everything. They sweep it so thoroughly. And then when they're done, they go back again. They go back again and they sweep it once more. And then when they're done with the second round of sweeping, then they start bringing water. Now, back then, there was no elaborate water system like we have it nowadays, so they were bringing buckets of water. Buckets of water. And they would throw water everywhere, starting with the ceiling. They would toss water to the ceiling. They wash the ceiling, wash the walls, wash the floors, wash everything, 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 several times. And then when they're done, then they polish everything. Everyone takes a cotton cloth, and then they polish everything. And then when they're done with that, Then they go back again and they look for any possible speck of dust. Get the darn thing and toss it out. Make sure everything is perfectly, perfectly clean. Now, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is his full name, does this to illustrate one very important point. Before a place is suitable for Krishna's residence, it's supposed to be superbly, pristinely clean. So similarly, it teaches that unless our hearts are similarly pristinely clean, they're not quite suitable place for Krishna's residence. And therefore, I know many times, I remember one person here, he really wanted to do some service, and he wanted to do some humble service to reduce his own pride, which was, I think, was very admirable on his part. And he wanted to clean that hallway there because on the ceramic tiles, there's, due to all the people walking, there's always some marks and dirt stains. And he wanted to clean that, but he wanted to clean it when no one was around. He still decided to maintain a bit of pride. He didn't want to be seen as an ordinary sweeper. Generally, a janitor or someone of that stature, social position is not. That's not quite top of the social position, to clean somebody's hallway. But here we have an incarnation of Krishna personally getting down on his knees and hands and cleaning everything. Everything, everything, everything. So this is the first thing one should get rid of, the pride, in order to make heart a suitable place for Krishna's residence. And then one should collect every single speck of dirt from one's heart and toss it out. And not just toss it out, but toss it out a great distance away so it does not come back in. So similarly, just like an impure heart is not a suitable place for Krishna's residence, an impure heart, in a similar way, cannot perceive the world as it is. Perceives it in a crooked way. Why in a crooked way? Because somehow or other, when the heart is impure, we have that tendency to place our personal preferences before the truth. Please think about this. We have a tendency to place personal preferences before the truth. Just like that person wanted to clean the hallway, but it didn't want to be seen by others. He had some kind of a personal preference there. If you think of ourselves, we're a walking bunch of senses. That's what we are. Actually, that's our body, really. the skin perceives, gentleness, roughness, heat and cold. The eyes perceive colors and shape, and ears perceive sounds of the swirl, and so on and so forth. In this way, our knowledge, our senses, which in the Sanskrit are called jnana indriya, which means jnana indriya, means the knowledge acquiring tools. And that's what they do. Whatever you do, even if you don't want to, these things acquire information about this world. And they present a truth, an information about this world to us. But our problem is that we place personal preferences before the truth and continue to live in illusion about this world. Continue to have a crooked version in our minds of this world. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks about knowledge, he says that the knowledge begins with two things. One is humility and the other one is pridelessness, which is basically, we could almost say the same thing. Humility and pridelessness. Because humility and pridelessness means that one will place truth before one's personal preferences. So, excuse me. So, in order to properly perceive this world, I mean, after all, we all want to know. Somehow or other, there's a big disconnect. And we all often have these kind of disconnects. It seems to be a common thing in this physical creation. But there is a big disconnect. On one hand, we want to know the truth. I mean, we want to know what this world is all about. We want to know the deepest truths about this world so we can align ourselves with it, so we can experience harmony and happiness. Yet, on the other hand, we have this tendency to be hypocritical. And then we keep placing our personal preferences before the truth, such as pride, for example. Like if someone tells us something, and it's definitely an objective truth, but it hurts our pride, we refuse to accept it, to the point that we really don't understand it. We're living in such a denial of truth that tendency to place personal preferences before the truth is so strong, we don't even see the truth that is obvious to the rest of the creation. But it's not obvious to us because of the pride. Just one example. I thought it'd be good to give one, at least one example, to be as graphic as possible. Therefore, Krishna says, in order to remove this filter, one should first practice humility and pridelessness. And this is a preliminary qualification for acquisition of knowledge. And knowledge is not some kind of you become a philosopher or something. Knowledge simply means to recognize reality, the world, for what it is. That's knowledge. Now I know. That's knowledge. And there are two aspects to this knowledge filter removal process. One is that one should not desire to be respected, which is a very, very difficult thing for most of you that have grown up in Southern California. Where the self-esteem movement reigns supreme. To us who have suffering from this disease, this is the religion, self-esteem. But actually, Krishna teaches, if you want to be objective about this world, objective about your own self and your relationship with the rest of the creation, you have to become prideless. Remove that pride, that tendency to promote oneself. Think oneself more than one really is. I mean, why does one fear public speaking? They say that people fear public speaking more than death. Polls show. Why? Because they think, I'll show myself a fool before a whole lot of people. That's not a problem. The problem will be that everyone will be thinking me a fool, and that's not a picture I want to maintain of myself. So that's a big problem. Therefore, big, big fear. So deeply rooted this is. But one should quit desiring self-promotion. That's one aspect. The other aspect is that one should learn to respect others. Of course, whenever I speak of these things, I feel very embarrassed. being quite short of these standards, but nevertheless, truth should be spoken, and spoken loudly, for the collective benefit. Should not fail to offer respect to others. In other words, one should be eager. One should be eager to see good qualities in others. We don't necessarily have to flatter, like they say in Sanskrit, mother has a blind child and gives it a name, Padmalochan. Those of you understand, Padmalochan means lotus eye, means very beautiful eyes. The guy's blind. So we shouldn't flatter, no need to flatter. But if there is some good quality, we should be very happy. Generally, our problem is when we see someone superior to us in any respect, we tend to become envious. We tend to become envious. No, if someone's superior to us, we should offer our respects. And traditionally, not only in Indian Vedic culture, but, for example, I grew up in a Catholic tradition. And in Catholic tradition too, all the teachers were offered respect. Like it was unheard of that you'd be sitting in a, you know, in a history class, learning history from your teacher, and you know, not keeping a, you know, respectful posture, like keeping your back straight and, you know, looking respectful and looking clean and attentive. And when the teacher entered the classroom, you would stand up. And if the teacher left the classroom, you also stood up and then sat down again. Shishi, Gorni, Taiki. Mataji, can you do it faster? Shishi, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Mayi, Ki. Shishi Radha Giridari Diraj Maharaj Ki. So in all traditions, people would offer respects. And I remember from through elementary and then, later on, the whole culture vanished. But at least when I was in elementary school, that's what everyone would do. Everyone's respect, not only to spiritual teachers, but any kind of a teacher. Because, I mean, you're learning from the person. Why don't you offer some respect? Offer respect to seniors? Simply because someone's older, one deserves respect. Seniors should be offered respect. Now there's, you know, the women equal rights movement is rampant. But I don't see in buses anymore men standing up giving their seats to ladies. I think something went crooked here. In order trying to fix one thing, they messed up a whole lot of other things. In all ancient traditions, women are looked at as mothers. All guys, we all came from mothers. there's nothing as worshipable as mother. So one should offer respect to all females, all the ladies. So next time when you're in a bus or in a public transportation, make sure you give your seat to a lady. otherwise, we just become blind to the realities of this world. One has to. One cannot be inimical, having resentment towards offering respect where it's due. So those are the two very important aspects of the process of acquisition of knowledge. To get rid of the tendency to self-promote and have no fear, have no bars when it comes to recognizing and offering respects to other people. And then there's one more thing, and we'll end there. And this is this toleration of duality. Jivita Prabhu, do you mind setting up this thing?
I don't mind.
In the meanwhile, it's not going to be.
Okay.
Maybe it could be just set up here. Set up here, and then we'll quickly just adjust the focus and all that.
I'll bring this up.
Could you help him? So that.
Can you get the cord?
I have a
or you want to use the
cord? Yeah, you have.
That's where it is, Lila.
L-I-L-A. And last QN.
This goes into that mini port, and this is, I think that's the right idea.
Okay. Sorry about that. I hope to be able to keep your attention for a few more minutes. So last thing, which is very important, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, and this is this toleration of duality. Because unless we're equipoised in this duality, again, we're not going to be able to perceive the world for what it is. And what is this? Toleration of distress and toleration of happiness. That both of these things need to be equally tolerated. Because when there's an uncomfortable situation, we become disturbed. It takes away our mind. And in a similar way, the function, you think that the function of physical pleasure is pleasure. No. Its function is distraction. This is the truth about the world as stated by Krishna in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. That the function of physical pleasure and displeasure is same. And it's called distraction. Distraction from that which is important. When we're in pain, we're distracted. We simply think about that pain and how to alleviate it. And then when we're in material comfort, material pleasure, we just don't care about Krishna, about spiritual life, about the thing, about the hungry and poor and whatever. We just don't care. Because we're just enjoying it. So Krishna says, Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata, that the whole world swims in this illusion. If you think about ourselves, we constantly function in this fashion all throughout the day, from the moment we get up. You know, what pleasant thing will I arrange for myself today, and what arrangements I have to make to alleviate physical unpleasantries. And in this way, one fails to be objective about the world. Why? Because again, when the truth about the world presents itself to us, we think in terms of what's pleasant and what's unpleasant, rather than what is objective. And that's why I know many of looking like this, the audience, when you read Srila Prabhupada's books, some of you have difficulty reading some of the statements because they're so radically opposed to what you're being brainwashed by modern sense gratificatory mad civilization. But you identify yourself so hard with it when you read this, and because you're not a philosopher, you're a politician. You think in terms of what's pleasant and unpleasant in immediate terms. You find some of the statements of holy people unpleasant and therefore untrue. I don't want to pay attention to this. And in this way you remain not objective about this world. So for these reasons, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that first one should be very humble. And two aspects of it are that one should be free from desire for self-promotion, should feel no inhibition when it comes to offering respect to others, and one should be above personal pleasures and displeasures in order to be objective about this world. So
no problem.
So before we proceed, now it's your turn to toss rocks or flowers this way. Yes.
Something that I tried to do because I realized how much I'm so into myself and saying, it's hard to not say I or me
mm-hmm.
when you're talking about yourself. Just an exercise you can do to see how selfish we are. Very difficult
yeah.
to make a statement without
one
I.
has to practice. One has to practice. Without practice, you cannot get good at anything. I don't know. To me, it's really funny. It's actually almost... Well, I don't want to be too harsh. I think I've been harsh enough tonight. But how can someone even think to become good at something without practice? And when it comes to spiritual life, I just call myself spiritual. Do any freaky thing I want to do and just... consider myself spiritual. One has to apply oneself to an authentic, bona fide practice. And one of the things, actually, it's listed here, but it slipped my brain as I was thinking about the projector. I did want to throw in the practice. That's why I'm actually using you as an excuse in what you said to throw in the last bit of my presentation. And that's the practice, that one has to practice. Just like, you know, when the pride comes up, well, you take a baseball bat and beat the thing out of your existence. It takes some practice. Literally, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that one should make this one's practice. I saw your hand, so give me a chance to finish. Said one should every morning and every evening be these kind of tendencies, in the morning with the broomstick and in the evening with the shoe. So, of course, it doesn't mean to, you know. compromise your health. But one should practice. And then one should actually have a bona fide spiritual practice. Just like we chant Hare Krishna mantra on beads. 108 times you say the whole Hare Krishna mantra in a prayerful, meditative mood, very attentively, every morning, you know, 16 times around, takes a couple hours or so. And that's your practice. And this is where you practice your toleration of duality. Whether it's raining outside, whether economy is blossoming or collapsing, who cares? It's your time to do your practice. You sit down and you tolerate, ignore dualities. And focus yourself on your practice. Very, very important. Somebody had a hand back there? Yes.
Hare Krishna Hinduism. I've been Hinduism since I was a little kid. Now, listen, man, how come sometimes I really love it, man? I do some really, really, really bad things. And I tried to quit that. I say,
Okay, can I repeat just
that? I always get the same result every damn time. I'm trying so hard not to.
Can I repeat your question just so others can hear? If I understood it correctly, he said that he has been practicing Hinduism. That's what he stated. And that he has a difficulty of, he says that he's acting in the ways that he actually doesn't want to act, but he almost as, it's happening almost as by force. So Arjuna asked the same question in the Bhagavad Gita, why this is happening, and Krishna said that that's because of one's conditioning. That's because of one's conditioning. Just like water. Water's, by its nature, liquid, it's transparent, it's pure, it quenches thirst, and it cleanses, and it augments things. Like, if you pour water on bread, paper, whatever, it augments things. If you pour it in a gas tank, you can do that too. It augments the amount of gas you think that you have in your gas tank. So these are the qualities of water. However, if you expose that water to low temperatures, you're going to force a certain conditioning upon that water. And the water will turn into ice. And its all texture, its all characteristics are going to change. And to revert it back to its original state, you have to expose it to the heat. So by exposing it to the heat, it'll melt and eventually will become water again. And if in the meanwhile the water has acquired pollutants, then you also have to filter it. So this is something that takes time and takes practice. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you should do like this. And then he lists certain practices you should do. But he says, if you can't do this, then you have to do something else. And if you can't do that, then you have to do something else. In other words, you have to find your level. See where you're at. Some people just need a 12-step Alcoholics Anonymous program. It's true. Some people are that low. And that's their starting point. Of course, you should always add Krishna to it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Western disease, I'm not sure if this is your problem, but the Western disease is we want expensive things for nothing. You know, we want jewels and diamonds for pennies. You don't get Krishna for, you know, saying Hare Krishna once a week when you come here on a Sunday.
I really care about that. Ah, I know what you're saying.
What's your name, brother?
My name is Kiefer.
Nice to meet you.
I'm a little dead now. Did you say no with Jerry Garcia, the Grateful Dead? I got turned on to Krishna.
Trivida
Prabhu?
Can we set this up now?
And I still can't get my right.
Where is Trivida Prabhu? Hey, Trivida, don't leave us here.
Jerry Garcia.
Okay, please don't take over now. Attention should be somewhere else.
Can I go home now?
You're welcome to stay, but whatever it pleases you, it's your choice. Yeah, can we? Oh, here he is.
So should we push?
Yeah. We need to project something. Tim. It'll begin. This will take 5 minutes.
So as soon as. Yeah.